listen to them sing, and I think, well, I'm going to preach that tonight, you know? And then they'd sing something else, and I think, no, I'm going to preach that tonight. But rather than be unstable in all my ways, I guess I'll just preach what I prepared. How would that be? Acts chapter 26. If I were to ask you tonight how many of you would like, how many of you have a heart's desire to be a better Christian in 2015 than you were in 2014, I expect most of us could honestly raise our hands. But I wonder if we really know how easy it would be to be a better Christian next year than you were this year. It begins with a desire. And folks, I've lived long enough to find out about myself and about you too. We can get done what we want to get done. If you want to, and if I want to, we can be a better Christian next year than we were this year. And God helping me, I want to spend the next hour and a half or so with you, hallelujah, on the subject, a life that will count for God in 2015. In Acts chapter 26, and by the way, there's about a dozen of you, your ears ought to perk up when you hear that word Acts. And there will be a test on Tuesday over this message. In Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 13, the Apostle Paul is giving his personal testimony. The very first thing we need to realize, if we're going to be a better Christian in 2015 than we were in 14, is that we must surely have to be a Christian. Would you give me that? The Apostle Paul had a testimony. He gave it many, many times throughout the Word of God. It seems one of his favorite testimonies was simply how he came to yield to the Lord. And he's giving that testimony before King Agrippa. In verse 13 of chapter 26 of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of the things that thou hast seen and of those things the which, pardon me, in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee." Why is he sending them? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And here's his testimony. "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." Paul was obedient unto the light which God gave him. My friend, I don't care who you are tonight, God has given you light. He's given you light in this service. And from what I can tell, we're all accustomed to being here, how much light we've been given. I want to say it kindly, but I want to say it firmly. You don't want to go to hell from this church. You've been given a great deal of light. Don't resist the light. Don't resist, as it were, that heavenly vision. Yield. The Spirit of God came to convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, and that included you. Listen to Him. Yield to Him. Make sure before 2015 gets here that you are indeed a Christian. Not do I think you're a Christian, not does preacher think you're a Christian, does God think you're a Christian? That's the very place to begin. All must likewise be converted. In John chapter 3, for sake of time, we'll just apply our memories. In John chapter 3, we read the account of a man named Nicodemus coming before the Lord Jesus. And much is made out of the fact he came at night and all that sort of thing. I'm just glad he came. You can come at night and in the daytime for whatever reason it takes. Just get to Jesus, that's all. And when he got to Jesus, Jesus turned the subject to Nebuchadnezzar. Blech. Oh, my. It's awful to get old. Who was the man? Nicodemus. That was his name. And I knew it began with an N. Nicodemus was honestly confused by what the Lord said. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had never read John 3. All right, give the guy a break. And it didn't make any sense to him. He had a sincere question for Jesus. And it was, how can this be? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He wanted to know. He had been given light. He was seeking more light. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's what you were talking about, Nicodemus. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Folks, everybody in God's family was born into God's family. God doesn't have any grandchildren. And give me some room here. God doesn't have any adopted children. They didn't get into his family through adoption. I like Ron Hamilton's songs, but he made one big mess. I'm adopted, hallelujah. No, you didn't get into God's family by being adopted. Your position in God's family has to do with your adoption. We all had the position of adult sons with all the privileges and responsibilities. In the Jewish context, that's what adoption's talking about. But you were born into God's family. Make sure you're born into God's family. Grandma being a preacher won't get you to heaven. You being a preacher won't get you to heaven. My being a preacher won't get me to heaven. If you're going to be a good Christian in 2015, you're going to have to be a Christian. Now, that is so simple, I ought to be embarrassed for even bringing that up to you, but it was the place to begin. Secondly, not only must we have a life that has experienced conversion, but we must have a life of exemplary convictions. We must have the wherewithal to stand for something. Somebody has said that a man who won't stand for something will fall for anything. Did you know that's true? It really is. In Galatians chapter 1, again, the Apostle Paul is speaking. He says to those Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For yet if I please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is one gospel. Anything but that gospel is not the gospel. It is not good news. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing, minus nothing. It isn't your faith plus your works, although faith produces works, we know that. But it isn't your works that saves you. It isn't your church membership that saves you. It isn't your being good that saves you. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fulfillment of the promise of God. What he and he alone could do. And folks, we must, as individuals and as a church, stand by that gospel. There's a lot of people out in Piedmont today who don't like that stand. They don't want to hear about it. And we cannot be intimidated by them. We must stand where the Apostle Paul stood. We must have convictions. And one of those convictions is how we get saved. How anybody gets saved who is saved. Secondly, the Apostle Paul had a great conviction concerning the integrity of the Word of God. Very familiar passage of Scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul in verse 12 has these words to say, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the," what? "Holy Scriptures." What did he know, class? The Holy Scriptures. "That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Here it comes. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. When it comes to the subject of the Bible, if we're familiar with the rest of that verse, verse 16, all we have to read is the first word, all. All means all, and that's all. Can you say that with me? All means all, and that's all. So how much of Scripture is inspired of God, Brother Jeff? All. The man said all. Where'd you get that? God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why is that so hard to understand, Brother Tully? Why is that so hard for some people to understand? All Scripture. You mean in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? You don't mean that part too, do you? I mean that part too. How about that fishy story back there in the Old Testament? About the man who swallowed the fish, you know? That one's true too. Yeah, the man named Noah who swallowed the fish, that's it. They're really up on their Bible. But they know it isn't true, right? It is true. Every word of it's true because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And if you and I are going to be the Christians we need to be in 2015, we're going to have it drilled into our head, more importantly, into our heart. The Bible is the Word of God, all of it. And we don't need to correct it. We don't need to try to improve it. We're not trying to find a better translation because there isn't one. There's nothing wrong with this one. Don't be moved from that. Don't be moved. Know what you believe and why you believe it. Chapter and verse. And base your faith upon "thus saith the Lord." Not what Dr. So-and-so said. Not what your mama said. Not what your daddy said. Not what your preacher said. But what God said in His infallible Word. We must be convinced of the fact and experience the fact that salvation is demonstrated through our lives. If we're going to be a good Christian, next year, our lives are going to have to witness that. Very familiar verses, Ephesians chapter 2. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we wave that banner, don't we, and shout, and hallelujah, we should. But there's one more verse that needs to be included with that. And it's verse 10. "For we," those of us who are saved, "are His," God's, "workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," doesn't stop there, "unto good works," not just any good works, "particular works for you, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As surely as God saved you by grace through faith, Brother Jeff, God does love you and have a plan for your life. And just because the Neos are quoting those words doesn't make them not true. God does love you, and God does have a plan for your life. He has somewhere for you to be tonight, and that somewhere for you to be is right here. Listening to this old man spout off. Okay? And that's the place I'm supposed to be tonight, is right here. And then my life is supposed to be changed for the better. I'm supposed to be changed from grace to grace, day by day. Amen? I like what, I forget now which song it was, but you talked about being closer to heaven. I like that old song. I'm nearer home than I was yesterday. You know that song? I'm closer to God along the way. You are closer to God, I hope, day by day. Are you? Are you closer to God now than you were this time last year? If you're not, you know what that makes you? Backslidden, doesn't it? For that matter, if there's ever been a time in your life when you were closer to God than you are right now, then you're backslidden. You've gone the wrong way. And we need to keep that in mind as we go into 2015. Every day, I need to be closer to the Lord than I was the day before. And I really am closer home. I have one less day to live than I had when I got up this morning. By the way, I don't know what it has to do with this, but God just told me to say it. Back in the 60s, I worked for a Unitarian. Y'all know what a Unitarian is? Well, I won't bother to try to tell you, but they're not Christians, I'll tell you that. But this man was worldly wise in a good sense. And I ran a piano department for him, servicing pianos and rebuilding them and that sort of thing. He said, David, every day has to pay for itself. You cannot do today what you should have done yesterday. Because if you do, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing today. Doesn't that make sense? You can't do yesterday's work today and be on schedule because you had something you're supposed to be doing today. Doesn't that work in the Christian life also? If every day we just remember God has things for me to do today, and if I put them off till tomorrow, then I can't do tomorrow what I'm supposed to do tomorrow. That was free. We must have a life that is controlled by the Spirit of God. That's the bottom line. In Ephesians chapter 5, just a few verses over from where we were, and beginning at verse 17, the Spirit of God moved in the heart of Paul to say, wherefore, be not ye unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, what is he going to tell us? He's going to tell us what the will of the Lord is. Are you with me? Come on, you're looking like a calf looking at a new gate. Did you get what I'm talking about? Let me read it again. But we'll see if Lucas can get it this time. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Okay, he's with me. All right. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, this group knows what it means to be filled with the Spirit. It means you're controlled by the Spirit, right? If you're drunk with wine, then the wine controls you. If you're, pardon me, drunk with the Spirit, then the Spirit controls you, all right? And if that's going to be evidenced by these things that follow. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That sounds like a bunch of Christians, doesn't it? Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is the will of the Lord for your life and my life in 2015. Our lives should be characterized by praising the Lord, by submitting to the Lord, and submitting to one another. One, two, three, four rows back. Excuse me, now you ladies. Four rows back is the prettiest girl in this place. She's pretty on the outside, and she's prettier on the inside. And I have to submit to her. And I hate it. I just hate it. But she has to submit to me, too. And she loves it, because it's so easy. But did you know that it goes further than that? It goes further than my four kids and 12 grandkids submitting. I have to submit to this man in the front row. It's a joy to submit to him because he's a godly man. I have to submit to that fellow right there, this man's little boy, and to the lady sitting next to him. We're to submit to one another. Are you too cotton-picking proud for anybody to tell you anything? Huh? You're not going to have a very good 2015 as far as the testimony for God is concerned if you're not approachable and teachable and pliable. Well, let me rush along. Roman numeral 3. We must have a life with engrafted courage. And I chose that word carefully. I don't mean that you need courage in and of yourself. You're going to have to get your courage from God. Not muster it up. Remember that Bible story about the little girl who went to the great land of Oz? Huh? And there was a fellow with her who wanted courage. Remember what his name was? He was the cowardly lion. Mm-hmm. He wanted courage. Where was he going to get that courage? Was he going to muster it up in himself? Where was he going to get it? He was going to get it from the Wizard of Oz. There is no Wizard of Oz, praise the Lord, but there is a God in heaven. And the God of heaven can give you courage. May I give you a couple of biblical examples where people sought that courage of the Lord? I knew you. I could. Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He's asking them to pray. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for the which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's what we need for 2015. If you and I will boldly, I don't mean presumptuously, I don't mean obnoxiously, but if we will boldly bear a verbal testimony for Jesus Christ in Piedmont, more of Piedmont will be in heaven. But we're not going to do it bowing and cacaoing and running around with our tail in between our legs, afraid that somebody's going to be home when we knock on the door. Right? What's going to change that? It ain't going to be our self-determination. It ain't going to be that. I can remember years ago, before I had done much door-to-door calling, I had a calling partner who was a former jailbird. I mean, he went to prison, and he got out, and he and I started going calling together. You know where he wanted to go, preacher? He didn't want to go down in the poor neighborhoods. He wanted to go where the rich people lived. That's a hard place to call, Brother Tully, because they don't need nothing. You know what? But that's where he wanted to go, and you know why he wanted to go there? Because he didn't want to go there. That's why he wanted to go there, because he didn't want to go there. It was so easy to go in the places where people were more responsive when you discipline yourself to go where you really did not want to go? By the way, they need to hear too. I can bear testimony to the fact that I was in the church once where we got a doctor's little girl saved. And the little girl brought her mama to church and mama got saved. And the next thing you know, old Doc was there and he got saved. God saves doctors. Most doctors I know need saved. All right, they're thieves. Huh? Oh. They are, and you know it. Anyway, they need saved. But we need boldness, and we're not going to muster it up. We're going to have to get it from God. We get it from God by praying for ourselves and for others that God would give us boldness. Then also the church also, in back in the book of Acts, close your ears up, Acts chapter 4, verse 29, "And now, O Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." We need boldness. Again, I feel like I've got to say that doesn't mean you be nasty. Doesn't mean you be obnoxious. Just means tell them what God did for you. If they want to hear more, tell them more. If they don't want to hear any more, their blood is not on your hands. But we need that. Number four, we need a life of evident compassion. Evident compassion. Our Lord Jesus was a compassionate man. Again and again, we read verses such as Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. "But when he," Jesus, "saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Why would the Lord Jesus be concerned that these people were sheep without a shepherd? Because he is the great shepherd of the sheep. He wanted those sheep in his fold. He cared about them, and he had compassion on them. I wonder upon how many do we have compassion? Or are we simply annoyed with them? I don't know about you, but I have to work on this compassion thing. As people get more and more bold in their wickedness, I get less and less understanding of it. Not as though I'm not wicked. I don't mean that at all. But at least I've got some class in my wickedness. You know what I mean, don't you? I mean, don't have a bone in my nose and in my ears, and I'm not painted from head to foot like an Indian on the warpath. And I don't understand people like that. But they look at an old codger like me, and they don't understand me either. Fact of the matter is, sin is sin is sin is sin. And all of this is this manifestation of what goes on in the heart, and we've all got the same problem in our heart. So I'm going to have compassion for their heart and see beyond that outward shell that is so repulsive. They are no more lost than I was lost. They are no more lost than you were lost. Compassion. We must have compassion and show that compassion for one another. May I again share some verses out of the book of Ephesians? I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 3. "Finally, brethren, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous." That's talking about our relationship to one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, "But ye have not so learned Christ," speaking of people who were living very ungodly lives, "if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man." In other words, don't live the way you used to live, "which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind." and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, talking about our relationship to one another, and it's shocking that he would have to even mention these things to us, but the context purely puts it, clearly puts it, in relationship between Christians. Wherefore, putting away lying. Brother Stephen, would a Christian ever lie to a Christian? Do you think so? No, a Christian would never lie to a Christian. How many in this auditorium tonight could raise your hand and say, a Christian has never lied to me? I don't see any hands up, Brother Steve. What does that tell us? Christians do lie to Christians. Why? What's the big deal? Isn't lying lying? It must matter to God. He thought enough of it to clarify it in his word. Brother Pete, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. You shouldn't have to swear on a stack of Bibles for me to believe what you tell me. If you said yes, it's yes. If you said no, it's no. Isn't that right? But I'll be honest with you. Down through the years, I've had some people who called themselves Christians, and if they told me black was black, I would wonder what they were up to. Why did he tell me that? What's he trying to do? Huh? Isn't that a shame? Don't be like that. If you catch me being like that, you get me by the nose. Help me. He didn't quit there. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Is there a difference between not lying and telling the truth? Uh-huh. But I can't clarify it all here in the next 45 minutes. By the way, I'm in as big a hurry as you are because I have a Marie Callender coconut cream pie waiting at home. So I'm going to get this done as soon as I can. All right? You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. It's all right to have that so-called righteous indignation. Just make sure you keep a right heart attitude and that you're angry for the right reason in the right way. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't be a grudge carrier. Get it cleared up today. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Same principle all the way through. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may be rich. That isn't what it says, class. Why should we work with our hands? That we may have to give to him that needeth. I'm tempted to say something, but I won't. Verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. All right, I can understand that which is good to the use of edifying. And that, so that tells me what the corrupt communication is. So if good communication edifies, what does corrupt communication do? Tears down. Are you a builder or a destroyer? When you shoot off your mouth, do things get better or do things get worse? If we're going to be the Christian in 2015 we say we want to be, we're going to have to watch what we say. Great old hymn, 17th century hymn. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say, right? Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Why? For the Father up above, what's he doing? He's looking down in love, so be careful, little tongue, what you say. No corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. Well, Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's the one we ought to teach all of our little children by example, and then the words, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the kind of Christians we ought to be in 2015. Kind, tenderhearted, forgiving. How forgiving? Just as forgiving as we want God to be with us. Well, and as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. That's us. We ought to be good to everybody out there. The biggest bunch of do-gooders in Piedmont ought to be in this room tonight. Just the way it is. And especially to one another. Especially. If you only have so much goodness to smear it around here. That's right. That's what it says. Yeah. And finally, brethren, those are the words you've been waiting for. We must have a compassion for the lost. Jude, whatever chapter you want, verse 22. And of some having compassion. Why, class, do you remember? Making a difference. Some people will get saved if you just have compassion on them. If the Bible's true, and we know it is because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? So that must mean verse 22 of Jude is true. Of some having compassion, making a difference. You can say an awful lot to people if they know you love them. You sure can. If they know you genuinely love them, you can say an awful lot. By the way, parents, that works with your kids too. Don't you be afraid to tell them exactly what they need to hear. You just tell them the way they need to hear it, and then live it for them. Right? Right? The truth is the truth is the truth. But we must speak that truth in love. Paul's example to us of keeping in the fight is the final thought I want to leave with you tonight. You're going to be tempted, many of you, and perhaps I will be too, you're going to be tempted to give up. ...2015 is not going to be an easy year. I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I think you could even do it the politician's way. You know, it's not going to be good. And it probably won't be any better in the religious realm next year than it was this year. It probably will be worse. And some of us are going to say, I'm tired of it. I'm just sick and tired of it. And you and I need to be very much in prayer for our preacher. He doesn't have to tell me. And there's a lot of men in this room who will understand exactly what I'm saying. You get so sick and tired of fighting with people who know what to do, and they're just plain not going to do it. And they're going to make life as miserable for you as they can. And you know, after a while, the tendency is to just shut up. Just let it go. Let somebody else fight that battle. And as surely as preacher has that, and as the other preachers who are in here have that, you have that too. Parents, you're going to get tired of saying no. You probably are not going to say yes, but you know what you're going to do? You're going to say nothing. And if you don't oppose what your children are wanting to do that's wrong, you're okay in it. You really are. That's why they have a mom and dad, to tell them what's right and what's wrong. And tell them from the Bible, not because you think so. Okay? Not because granddaddy said that. Because Jesus said that. And tell them what's right. And tell them why it's right. From the Bible. Don't give up. Don't give in. Keep going. Keep going. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Everything you do is the work of the Lord. You don't have a secular life and a sacred life. All of your life is God's. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Everything. So let me start the verse again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Keep by the stuff. Stick by the stuff. Show people you love them. Stand for the truth. Hold the Bible in your hand and in your heart, having made sure that you really are a part of the household of faith. Would you take your songbook in hand, please? I've chosen for a hymn of invitation a song that's probably not too familiar to you. I'm going to sing the first stanza for you, and then we're going to stand together, and you're going to join me in singing the second too. We're not going to be in any hurry. I want you to think about what you're singing. Would you please? I'm going to try to sing, I should have said. By the way, I'm going to a doctor now who thinks he can help me to breathe. Pray for that, would you? If I can breathe, maybe I can sing again. I hope so. Oh, I'm sorry, 466. You're supposed to know that. 466. I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. Look with me at that first verse. I would be true. Why? For there are those who trust me. Think for a moment of the people whose lives would be shattered if you're not true. Isn't that reason enough to be true? I would be pure. For there are those who care. There are people who care, young people, whether or not you have a pure life. There are people, Dad, who care if you have a pure life. If you don't, you're going to break a lot of hearts. You join me in standing, would you please?